Senate Committee on Business and Labor, and before we get too far along, our good helper from the staff up in the floor of the Senate, Aaron, is going to be leaving us, and I just want to thank you for all the good help you've given us down here and all the things you've done for us, and appreciate it. He's going to graduate school of all things at the University of Oregon. So.
Oh, wow.
That was good. But thank you very much, Aaron, for taking good care of us. Appreciate it very much. Now, today we have the building code day. So we've got Senate Bill 710, 711, 712, 713, 714, 715. And I'm going to ask Mark Long to come up and give us a broad overview on that. And when, as the testimony, or people coming up to give testimony, if you're going to testify on one, testify on all. And that will save us some time, because they're in some matters all shape and form related, and Mark's going to explain that all to us. So, welcome to the committee, and introduce yourself, and commence with 710+.
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Mark Long, Administrator, Building Codes Division. As you know, Building Codes administers and enforces our statewide code. We work with our industry partners and our local government partners to carry out a consistent code throughout the state. Today, we have, as you indicated, 710 through 715. These bills are part of a package of bills that we have been working on with industry and local government to really help support the governor's streamlining initiatives to provide for efficient, timely, and flexible services in the building codes area. It really helps support kind of an economic development package. These bills are all related, as you indicated, and I'd like to go through just a quick overview of those and then let you know that with these bills, for the most part, except for one, we have conceptual agreement on all these bills. We need a little bit of time to work out some technical changes. We got the Dash 1 amendments yesterday and then this morning, and we would like the opportunity to kind of work on these and get them back to you somewhere around the week of the 14th, if that's all right. So let me walk through. Senate Bill 710 is really what we're calling the regional bill. It builds on the success of our Tri-County Service Center, and it's designed to promote consistency and timeliness of state services in a region-wide basis. This bill is not part of the governor's budget. It does have a fiscal impact on it. We're asking to extend some of the surcharges that are collected on a statewide basis, or collected in the Tri-County area, to a statewide basis to help support building codes getting its services for interpretations, dispute resolution, which is appeals, and enforcement out in the local areas. Senate Bill 711 really looks at prioritizing inspections and plan reviews. It asks the division to focus on life safety elements. It exempts or modifies certain electrical and plumbing plan review provisions, and it has a provision in there to allow an architect or an engineer to provide plan review for residential structures. That bill has the concern of the division as written. We would not be in support of that bill as currently written, and would be with the rest of the bills. Would like some time to kind of work out some of the issues with that. Senate Bill 712 is really a companion to Senate Bill 715, so I'll kind of talk about those together. As part of the work group leading up to these bills, we decided to merge those two ideas together. Senate Bill 712 really suggests that if it's a state-owned or operated facility, that the state would work with the state building codes division, in this case, to plan, review, and inspect those projects. It builds on the success of the relationship we've had with the Department of Corrections and Department of Transportation to look at state facilities and provide a consistent single source to provide plan, review, and inspection services. Senate Bill 713 is what we're calling the e-permitting bill. It does two things. Asked Building Codes Division to work with our metro area partners. There's 27 jurisdictions working in Multnomah, Clackamas, and Washington County. What we would do is put together a system that could interconnect those building departments so contractors could hopefully pay, apply, and receive building codes approvals electronically. We think that's very important for timeliness and flexibility. This bill also asks us to look at how to create a system on a statewide basis and connect the other 100-plus jurisdictions that are out there. like to bring to the committee's attention that this bill also helps Building Codes Division lay out the course for seeking federal funding. I've been in contact with folks through an organization with the White House, as well as the National Institute of Science and Technology, to really place Oregon as a showcase state for interconnecting our building departments electronically so that, again, we can kind of speed up the permitting process for over-the-counter permits. This bill, along with our other efforts, really shows both the state folks and the national folks that Oregon is interested in moving forward with this type of concept. Senate Bill 714 is what we're calling alternate permit options, where it allows us to work with our various boards to come up with flexible, hopefully innovative, permitting systems for minor work, non-life safety work, where these kinds of permits might be recognized statewide in each of these jurisdictions, or allow one type of permit to be used in an industry or an implant situation, so they don't have to have individualized permits. It's a permissive bill, and it basically asks us to go off and do good and work with our industry and see if we can find out a better way to issue permits. Senate Bill 715 is what we call the rapid approval bill. This bill needs some work. We've been working with industry and local government. There's some technical changes that we would need to make in the bill and kind of work out some of the criteria pieces. But what Senate Bill 715 and now 712 is kind of rolled into that would do is allow an owner to, if a project meets a certain criteria, either a state-owned or operated building or a building that's of economic interest to the state, would allow an owner to request services from the Building Codes Division, where we would assess the best way to get this project through the system. We put together a team, find out if it's better to be done locally, the state, combination thereof, and really try to get certain projects through the system as fast as possible. And that's really an overview of the bills. Again, my understanding is we've got conceptual agreement on all these areas with our folks. Again, 712 being the one that the division has needs to work on the most. And be happy to answer any questions. And if it's okay with the chair, I'd like to come back with these as a package, get some of the amendments worked out, and bring these back to you in about 10 days or so.
It sounds very good. Thank you, Mark. For the record, we'll recess the public hearing and open up a subcommittee hearing since we have two folks here.
All right.
All these bills indicate there's subsequent referral to Ways and Means, but you think there's only one in 710?
I believe it's just, Mr. Chair, I believe it's just Senate Bill 710, if I recall correctly. There was some confusion over Senate Bill 713, which was the e-permitting, because the Dash 1 amendment said we shall do a system as opposed to study a system, and so that has the potential for fiscal. But I think at the in the end analysis, we're really talking about Senate Bill 710.
Okay. And all these bills have amendments, so what you're saying basically, they're not ready to be proposed. You're still working on these amendments on all the bills, or?
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay. All right. Questions? Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That was quicken down.
Well, I tried to give you the. I'd be happy to go line by line, point by point, if you like, but.
You folks have done good work.
Nobody cares about this issue, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody cares about this issue, right?
Nobody cares. There's. Yeah. All right. Okay. Nathan Phillips and Rick Thomas and John Killing. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to see you.
Mr. Chair, my name is Nathan Phillips. I'm the chairman of one of the Building Codes Advisory Boards, the Electrical and Elevator Board, and I just wanted to speak in support of these bills and these efforts to streamline building codes. I think they all make needed steps towards increasing the efficiency and reducing the redundancy of the process. The regionalization in particular would help us a lot with the compliance problems that we have, and both in terms of permitting and licensing, as well as consistency in code interpretation throughout the state, which has been a problem. But really every one of these things is a step in the right direction, in my view, and helps with various problems that we've had, that I've seen as a volunteer over the last 9 years.
Good. Thank you.
Chair Nelson, members of the committee, for the record, Rick Thomas with Independent Electrical Contractors of Oregon. We too are in support of these bills. As Chairman Phillips said from the Electric and Elevator Board, Senate Bill 710 would do a great deal in encouraging some consistency among our 130-some-odd jurisdictions in this state that handle electrical to add some consistency to things. You know, the prioritizing of plan review that's in 711 we view as very important. E-commerce, I'm not sure how many people have seen a set of construction drawings before and their size and what it takes to print a set out, but in terms of being able to email or transfer those electronically can save a great deal of time and effort between the contractor and the jurisdictions. The alternative inspection program, we agree as well that creating some innovation and some new opportunities and new ways to look at things would be good. And then the rolling of 715 and 712 into the amendments that Mr. Long talked about in terms of the rapid approval is also something we view as important to speeding up projects that are sensitive in nature of time and getting things online and hopefully as well getting some people back to work quickly.
Okay. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Chair Nelson, Senator Beyer, and for the record, my name is John Killen. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Associated Builders and Contractors. Don't have a lot to add to what's already been said. We support this package strongly and believe that, particularly used with other streamlining efforts going on or around the building right now, this could be lead to a great future for Oregon.
Hey, thank you. I guess the committee is sort of... Thank you. I appreciate your coming in. Okay, Jim Muir, Bill Cross, and David Barenberg. Gentlemen, welcome.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Bill Cross, and I'm representing the Oregon Building Officials Association. And with me is Jim Muir, the chair of the Legislative Committee of the Oregon Building Officials Association. And I'll let Jim highlight a couple of our comments regarding the package of bills.
Senator, first on Senate Bill 710, we are in agreement that that the approach that Mark Long and BCD are taking on this bill, we will be in support of. Moving on to Bill 711, we oppose some parts of that, notably the provisions for allowing dwellings under 4,000 square feet to receive plan review or no plan review, outside plan review or no plan review. We feel this is a step backwards for safety. It also is a concern of local government. I work for Washington County, and we have a problem with our insurance ratings and the ability for those ratings to stay on track if we aren't providing the service that they judge us by. So without going into a lot of detail, we are in agreements with some parts of that. Some of the plumbing and electrical provisions that have been alluded to, we are in agreement with, but we do have problems with one part of it, and we would like to see that continue to be a discussion point amongst the stakeholders, but we are concerned specifically about that issue. So, on the combining of 712 and 715, we are in favor of the direction that these bills are taking, and there are many things in both of those bills that as they're being modified, that we believe are going in the right direction. We still do have some concerns about the final outcome and how they will affect our ability to provide service, and how they will affect our programs in particular, how we'll be able to budget for them, to operate them, but we continue to try to work with the stakeholders groups to make those modifications, and when we come back as the bills are finalized, we'd like to have another opportunity to discuss any particular problems, but we hope to work them out with the stakeholders. We definitely support Bill 713, the e-commerce bill. For instance, in Washington County, we are accepting plans online as we speak, and have been in the forefront of providing that type of service, and it is something I think that the customers in our state need and deserve, and it does act as a streamlining factor in providing our services. And we are also not opposed to any of the provisions really in Senate Bill 714 either.
So. Mr. Chair, the handout that I just distributed was a memo, yes, from ISO, the Insurance Services Organization, which evaluates the building program efficiencies around the country for building codes inspection programs. And this memo was issued to BCD about a year ago when the Master Builder Program that the legislature adopted went into effect, and which we've tried to work with, our problem being that any time nationally they look at a exemption where the individual or company that has a fiduciary interest in designing or constructing the building also then does its own plan review or inspections, they get very nervous, and typically they will not provide then the lower insurance rates to building owners in that community. So that was the purpose of that memo, to highlight that concern that as we go through some of these streamlining concepts, we need to hopefully achieve a balance to assure that we still have a appropriate check and balance that will pass muster when our communities are rated for insurance purposes.
That this memo refers to House Bill 2012?
Mr. Chair, yes, that's correct, and that was last session's bill that established the Master Builder Program. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to put a cover memo on it, but...
Okay. If you can get us just a cover memo of some sort to us so we can get a little more information, that would be good. I think that Mr. Long's testimony indicated that the governor is pushing the behind the streamline thing on the basis of economic development, and so, we're getting this push, and the way it looks like what was happening there is that, according to his testimony, that he's still got some things to work on. You guys still want to work on some of this stuff, so there will be some time in this thing. But we're under some time constraints as far as the Senate schedule. So,
Mr. Chair, I think BCD has been trying to facilitate some discussions. We and local governments have been involved in those. We feel like we're getting very close to some sort of resolution that simply would ensure that a local government has the opportunity to provide those services to meet the goals of the efficient timeliness and flexible objectives that are included in Senate Bill 715, for example. If those are inadequate or their resources aren't there, then it is appropriate for the state to facilitate or get involved in ensuring that those projects are streamlined. I think we're very close. It's just ensuring that the process is clear as to what the expectations of the parties are.
And there'll be some time. We'll reconvene the public hearing at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is David Barenberg from League of Oregon Cities, and first, I'd like to just thank the folks from the Building Codes Division, Mark Long, Joe Corwin, and Andrea Simmons, who've done a really good job of corralling what is, as you look out, I think, at the hearing room, a pretty ornery bunch of lobbyists from a lot of different interests, and have made us play nicely together. And I think that as Jim and Bill's testimony their testimony that they presented is where the cities are. 710 on the regional piece, we think, is something we can clearly support and help deliver services in a more localized level to local government and help better address some of the service delivery needs. Industry plan review, we share some of the concerns raised by Jim. Happy to participate and see if we can work them out. 712, 715, I think as Bill said, we're trying to, or I think we're fairly close to some agreement. We just need to work out some of the details and language, and I think we're trying to
move forward on the economic development aspects in 713 e-commerce is something that we look forward to working with the department on. And with that, I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, just the time limit is, we're talking 10 days or so. So.
Understand.
Questions of this panel? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we have Paul Phillips, Bob Shiprack, and Burton Weist.
Tickets, yeah. I think it was putting in the battle.
This one's bigger.
What a crew, man.
Want me to go first?
Please.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Bob Shiprack, Oregon Building Trades Secretary. I'm here in support of this package of bills. Just a brief, very brief history. A bunch of us got together last January, about 18 months ago. We were all kind of kicking clods around, wondering where the next job was going to be. And Burton called me up, and I called Chandler and Barry and some contractors and developers. And I said, let's get together in a room and try and figure out something to help the economy, not just economic development. Let's just pick one thing, and it would be the permit process. And through an evolution of things, we came up with this with the great assistant of Mark Long with the Building Codes Division. We had one rule, is it had to be 100% concurrence. And so we're here today representing the industry, developers, contractors, general subs, labor, kind of you name it, in support of something we're bringing to the legislature that's been a long time coming, and that's to try and reform our permit regulatory process. This isn't a bad state to do business in. It is a regulatory hell. And we're trying to use these bills in order to cut through some of this. And I'm going to be very brief because everyone's going to say about the same thing with some exceptions. We had a real success story. The legislature two sessions ago put together the Tri-County Board in the Washington, Multnomah, and Clackamas County as an experiment where there's like 27 or 29 local governments that do permit processes, inspections, plan reviews, and trying to make some sense out of that. It's been fairly successful, and we learned a lot of lessons. So basically, 710, we want to move that experiment with the things that we've learned to make things better statewide. That's the idea for that. Also, we'll provide better code interpretations and compliance. On 7-Eleven, we all thought that there needed to be, maybe we just over-government some of this stuff. The biggest problem I heard from the contractors was the plan review process. If you had to pick one, that was it. And were certain jurisdictions, these plans lay in the inbox for a week or two before somebody looks at them, and then they're shuffled off to somebody else, and consequently somebody isn't building. One of the reasons I asked about this, because I don't do that stuff, I represent labor, but I was talking to some of our large general contractors driving around a lot, and I'd call them up. I know these guys. I go, why are you guys breaking ground in January? I mean, it's horribly expensive to do it that way. It costs a lot of money. Typically, you start work in the springtime. And they go, well, we just got our plan review back. We just got the permits, and we got to go. We're already behind schedule. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So hopefully if we can prioritize the plan reviews. I know there is some objections to that, but I feel very strong. I think the rest of the industry are going to say that if you could do one thing, that would be a good place to start. And to not to waive the plan review for a residential structure of less than 4,000 feet that's stamped by an architect and engineer, I don't know how you can justify that. And so we still think that's a very good idea and free up a lot of work. Rapid approval of state-funded projects. I was talking to the chair the other day. It's sure funny, when we want to build a prison, when it's in our best, the state's best interest, we exempt ourselves from everything. So why not we do it with other things? Time saying that within 715, why don't we let private industry also have that flexibility where they've got a local government that is not cooperative, does not have the expertise to simply allow the state, should they choose, to help that business, particularly if we're going to try and recruit businesses into this state. Why do we give them these tax breaks and other things, incentives to get here? Why don't we finish the job and say, okay, we're also going to put you through the permit process, get this building up and inspected and everything else. So I don't think the bill, frankly, goes far enough in this area, and I'll be looking at those amendments too, because I think this should be an offer to a lot of the private sector out there as an option. E-government, I don't think anybody objects it. You know, as we get into the computer age, this is just something that just makes a lot of sense. Last but not least, 714, on the alternative permit programs. We're going to see how that works. I'm going to look at the amendments on that one, too. But I want to just state, we've had a lot of these industry meetings, and everyone speaks their mind, and I guess I'll just speak for the group. I'm not trying to throw rocks at anybody, but I hope the legislature can deal with this issue this session, because frankly, I've been involved for several sessions asking local governments to come to the table and try and help industry out a little bit, and at every session that doesn't get done. Now we're in a recession. Times are tough. We've got a lot of pressure to try and get some work done. We couldn't pick a better time to streamline our process. And I hope that the legislature and the governor this session will recognize that we got to get on with business and not worry about some of the things that we've allowed things to get slowed down and bogged down in our permit and regulatory process in the past. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, if you guys aren't willing to step to the plate and get the job done, we'll find somebody else that will. Remember, this code, it belongs to the state, not to the local jurisdictions. And if they're not going to help industry and the state out, maybe we should just take the programs away from them. And I'm all in favor of that, too. But that's another bill for another day.
That's not part of these bills?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
I'm done.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Burton Wiest. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Contractors and the Air Conditioning Contractors of America. We're in support and support Bob's comments, and we're in support of all of these bills. We've been working on this for a year, along with Paul and Bob, for a year before the session started. So we have literally hundreds and hundreds of hours of discussion and work on these bills, and they truly do represent a very broad cross-section of groups and interests on them. I would just very quickly comment on Senate Bill 711. While we're in support of all of them, 711 is particularly important to the folks I represent, the plumbing industry, air conditioning contractors. One of our frustrations in life has been that we send a plumber through a minimum of 4 years, and if they're in a union program, 5 years of apprenticeship with thousands of hours of class time. So to be a plumber, you just don't walk out and pick up a toolbox and start plumbing on a house. They're extensively trained and go through a testing program and on and on and on to be a plumber in this state. Yet that plumber, that qualified plumber, and finds themselves at times having to get permits and inspections on things such as a hose bib, installing something on the outside of a house. And we wound up in the past, we wind up in situations where sometimes the cost of the permit is more than the cost of the labor to do the job. And I'm not really picking on local governments, because it costs them money also to send somebody out to look at that hose bib, or send somebody out to look at the fixture or whatever it is you're putting in. We've played with that issue in the past. We've done bills that allow ordinary repairs to be done and those kinds of issues, but we've never really looked at the issue of whether or not we really need to be permitting and inspecting all these things that we permit and inspect. And that's really the heart of Senate Bill 711, and it's returning
returning us to having inspections done for fire and life safety issues, the things that are important in a building, and trying to expedite the process. Consumers are angry when they find out that they have to get a $60 permit for a very minor operation, and we don't like doing it either, and we really think it's time we looked at just what we regulate. So we heartily encourage you to pass these bills. We appreciate the process that's being used, and we're hopeful of having everybody, including local governments, supporting this package when we come back to you in hopefully a week or so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Paul Phillips. I'm here today representing the National Association of Electrical Contractors, Plumbing Contractors, and Sheet Metal Contractors, three different associations with over 1,000 contractors that are both specialty subs and generals. We have folks around the state. It is long past time for action. These initiatives don't go far enough, but they're as far as we can get right now. We would strongly encourage you to move 710 to Ways and Means today. We would encourage you to take a look at what we consider to be minor amendments to bring the industry together and move these bills as a package as soon as possible, if not before the 14th. I would caution the committee to avoid the naysayers that come in after many, many months, if not years of work, and then say, well, we just got one little amendment to go through. Sometimes it's time to say no. Sometimes it's time to move forward, because the status quo has failed, and the people that oppose this bill are defending the status quo, and they represent a failure in the permitting and regulatory process in the state of Oregon. It's as simple and as clean as that. If you think I'm frustrated, you should talk to my contractors, because they have had it. It is time to move. 7-11 makes sense. It makes immense sense, because time is money. 7-12 is so logical it hurts. 7-13, if you move a shall to a may, that bill's ready to go. That's not a major amendment. 7-14, that's an easy bill, should happen. And 7-15, I would echo what Bob Shiprack said a little while ago. If we can acknowledge that the land use laws in this state don't work for major state projects and we have to override and put in supersiding for those, then we should acknowledge that there are some other problems and that it makes sense to have a rapid approval process for critical projects and make them work and get people, his employees and my contractors, to work. That's simply as... I mean, I could go through each bill, but I would encourage you to move. We put a lot of time and effort into this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Now you want to tell us how you really feel about some of these things?
No, but if I will tell you, Mr. Chair, if I come back next week and we have a few groups that say, yeah, you know, just one more minute, give us another week, then you'll see some real excitement. Okay?
Okay, just a couple quick things. You know, the governor has basically indicated to us and to a lot of folks, and I think Senator Metzger has a bill in his Trade and Economic Development Committee as far as the land use and trying to streamline those processes, which kind of works into this whole thing. I mean, that's the push is for economic development. Could you tell me, in your industries, I mean, how many of you guys are working and your folks, do you have a percentage or something like that you could tell us?
Data works. Mr. Chairman, Bob Shiprack, Oregon Building Trades. Out of the 14 affiliates I've got statewide, recommend, you know, the construction unions, my guess, and it's a pretty good estimate, is about 25% unemployment on average. Some are higher, some are a little lower. But the bad news is the out of work list is growing, and we're not seeing a light. And I share that with the legislators, because it also affects your revenue forecast. So don't get too excited about it, I don't think. The bad news is it's the unemployment is growing.
Mr. Chair, if I may again, Paul Phillips, part of the genius, if you will, of Bob convening the meeting that included home builders and industrial users, it was, and people like Bert and myself that represent a niche part of this, is that we were looking at a comprehensive approach. We need more industrial land, developable industrial land available in this state. That's not a debate today, but it plays right into these. We also need to create an environment that's for Oregon business and to remove the impediments for hiring people and buying and developing property in the state. So it isn't just one item. This is a package that affects a real problem that we have in the state. From my contractor's perspective, our biggest fear is what we don't see, and we don't see a lot of activity, major projects out there in the near term or even the midterm, and that is a real problem for the state.
You've got issues as far as safety. Do you have environmental issues that are concerned with all these rules and regs, or does this address any of those, or how's that play out?
I'm not an environmentalist, Mr. Chairman. So there's no confusion. We kind of broke this up, and it was too big of a bite for us to do the. So we've got guys like Chandler that like land use stuff. He's got the other package, and we kind of got together, and we'll do the permit and regulatory stuff once you guys hand, and we're supporting them fully on the land use stuff, but you're correct. Sometime we hope the legislature gets their hands around the whole thing, because the land use and the permit process are, of course, tied together. And I want to testify in the House side on another bill for an interim study of that whole other side of the permit process for site, as far as the environmental permit stuff that you're describing. Whole nother piece.
Question, Senator Beyer.
Yeah, this is such a common sense approach, and I understand that we're going to need a new common sense guy in the Hawkins County Commission. We hear from the rumor that Mr. Shiprack is interested.
Oh, no, sorry, not you. Cut and pay.
Senator, that's good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. I just want to thank the group for all their hard work on this issue, and it is very complicated to get everybody together and start working on these things, and I know we started that a couple of sessions ago with the Tri-County issue and minor permitting and everything else, and you're absolutely right, Mr. Shiprack, my former state representative, I might point out, is that, you know, in our Transportation Economic Development Committee, which, of course, the chair sits on as well, I mean, this is a key part of this in terms of, as these bills are moving through our committee, and in terms of economic development and streamlining these processes, identifying what the priorities are, and in transportation, of areas that are of statewide significance, whether they be for industrial sites, as you mentioned, or for transportation projects, is to be able to find a way to provide some certainty to business, number one. Number two, to be able to let them know that they can conduct that business. And you're right, this regulatory side on the permitting isn't everything, but it is a real important part of it. And I think one thing that's really critical, and in these bills, as I reviewed them, and we tie into some of the other things that we're doing in the legislature, it's very important to point out, you know, this doesn't take away any of our controls, any of the quality control, any of the certifications, any of the regs that we put in there. What it does do is allows us to expedite getting those things done. You know, it's not changing the standards. It's saying sometimes it takes a lot of people, you know, who own the same stamps to get the thing done, and maybe we can do it was one guy's stamp and not everybody else's. And so I appreciate all the hard work on this and look forward to moving these bills and seeing that this is in fact a complete process for the state to say we really are open for business and we're serious about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Scott Berry, John Chandler, and Harvey Matthews.
Are they for this bill? I take everything back. These guys are on the same side.
Welcome, Bill.
Good afternoon. Scott Berry with the Oregon Building Industry Association, and I won't take too much time going over the bills one by one. Simply, I'd like to say that the Oregon Building Industry Association has been involved in this process from the get-go. We have been supportive. We support the entire package and have been working from day one to try to get this this package up in front of you folks and hope that it is successful getting through the legislature. And the immense help that this will give to our industry, to the commercial industry, to the entire construction industry is is there in the bills, and we're just hoping to see them get through this session.
Mr. Harvey?
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Members of the committee, my name is Harvey Matthews, representing Associated Oregon Industries, Oregon's largest business association with over 22,000 members, over 325,000 private employees, and an association that's very concerned about our economic well-being, as are you. We want to speak specifically to Senate Bill 715, which empowers DCPS to review plans and give inspections on projects that they deem to be of critical importance to the state's economic well-being. And as we, as an organization, as a state, attempt to attract businesses to our state, having some certainty around regulations is one of the most critical factors. And so that's the primary reason why we support Senate Bill 715.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. John Chandler with Legislative Advocates here on behalf of the Urban Developers Coalition. And we are supportive of all these bills as well. I'd like to do a little bit more of the context for the committee, if you don't mind. Senator Nelson and Senator Metzger have heard this in other committees. There's, as has been indicated, there's other bills floating around that, that connect. One of them is Senate Bill 467, which is in Senator Metzger's committee right now. It's going to be the industrial lands supply vehicle for this session, I believe, where we're looking at both a short-term issue of land supply and the longer-term issue. We are dealing with every state agency involved in that process, not just the LCDC, but Division of State Lands, DEQ, ODOT, the Economic Development Department, who are trying to focus the state's resources on that issue. And all of this came, as Mr. Shiprack and Mr. Phillips indicated, from interim conversations from a very disparate group who all had a common interest in trying to get Oregon back to work, whether as developers, which is the people I represent, or the labor side, trying to make sure that we had the land, the jobs, the ability to move the state forward. In addition to Senate Bill 467, there's bills dealing with the periodic review process at LCDC, which is critical to this. There's bills dealing with the setting up a land use reform commission for an interim study of the land use system to make sure that after 30 years it's still doing what we want it to do. We have a bill from Senator Starr on supersiding big projects so that we can handle what I call the oh my gods, the company that comes to town looking for 100 acres that can't find it. We have the transportation funding package, which is critical. All of these things we've been pitching on behalf of our clients to this chamber and to the House as part of the package. This is, for want of a better way of looking at it, an economic recovery package for the state. And it's not the higher ed piece, it's not the tax credit piece, it's simply the land use, land supply, commercial, industrial, getting people back to work, that piece of it, which I think is absolutely critical. These bills that you have in front of you are have been part of that package. When we've met with the governor's staff, when we've testified in Senator Metzger's committee, when we've testified in Representative Smith's committee, we've told them this package of bills, regardless of chamber, regardless of committee, are the ones that we believe, on behalf of this broad section of folks who've been working on them, are the changes needed to get the state moving again. And one thing I want to submit to you here, and on this other industrial lands bill, at the table we have, as I said, these various state agencies, the governor's office, and every single one of them is willing to make changes to their program. They understand that I've never seen state agencies come to the table in the way that I have this session. We have DEQ, for example, willing to put additional money into brownfield cleanup for industrial lands to make it happen faster, to expedite that. We have the Division of State Lands who's willing to do pre-permit delineations of wetlands so people who buy a piece of property that has a wetland on it know where it is in advance of the process. We have ODOT willing to put additional money into this immediate opportunity fund so we can respond to opportunities to get transportation. The state agencies are stepping up to the plate. Now, there's more work to do. We're not done with that. There's more work there. But the piece that isn't in our package that we're working on is the local governments. They're at the table. They're helping us. The package of bills in front of you are critical, not only because they involve a level of government that isn't the state agencies, but because if we do all this work on land use and we do all the work on environmental and we get all the state's energy and focus and grant money and time spent getting lands designated and we can't pull the permits, we wasted our time. And this package of bills is critical to reforming the building inspection and permitting process in a way that makes sense, that doesn't sacrifice, as Senator Metzger said, doesn't sacrifice a single goal or objective. None of the stuff we're doing on the land use side is sacrificing a single goal or objective. We're keeping everything in place, but we're trying to make it work faster, better, cheaper, easier. If these bills don't pass, I don't think much of the other work we're doing is going to matter. any more than if these bills do pass and the land use side and it falls apart, then there's not going to be that much to permit and inspect in the first place. I think it is a package. I commend them to you. I hope we'll get them passed and off to the governor's desk, and I believe he'll be supportive of them. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, John. Yeah, we're operating under the assumption that somehow the rules and regulations actually hinder economic growth, and that's the assumption we're on. How do you justify that is a valid assumption that we're doing?
Mr. Chairman, I think that there are two ways to look at that. Some rules and regulations do hinder the growth. Oftentimes, as an example, the industrial lands, I'll use that as my to answer your question, there is a state land use goal right now on industrial lands. But, and we found when we looked at it, it works. It's everything we needed to have in state law is there. What we didn't have was implementation. And what we found was that there really weren't any regulations that were in the roads per se. It was how they were implemented that it hadn't been a focus. And so what we're trying to do, I think, and I would hate to take a quiz on these bills. I'd have to sit next to Commissioner Shiprack if I had did that. But I believe what we're trying to do the same thing here is not that you shouldn't inspect for the, necessarily change that the objective. Just do it differently. Have a process that works more efficiently. As I believe on most these things, it isn't that the rules are bad. We haven't done them smart. We haven't thought about the impact on the economy. We haven't thought about the impact on jobs. I think once you put that focus on a lot of this stuff, whether it be a wetland issue or a brownfield issue or a building permit issue, once you put that focus and say, oh, by the way, while you are watching out for these other good social policies, get it done quicker and easier so we can get folks to work, I think you get a better result. And I think it's especially critical politically we've been working very, very hard, and I think maybe from some of my clients' perspective, gone a little too far trying not to change the underlying stuff. As Mr. Shiprack said, there's issues yet to talk about, and we may come back and talk about them next session. We may talk about them during the interim. But as a matter of politics, I don't want anybody to think, this committee or elsewhere, that these are boarding parties or raids on the system. They're not. I think the system we can assume for now is fine. Let's make it work better. If we come back in 2 years and find that after all our good intentions of making it work better, we still got some problems, well, that's a separate conversation to have.
Questions?
I'm thinking.
It's tempting, ain't it?
I'm thinking about quizzing Mr. Chan.
These are sequential bills.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. You better get away while I can.
Hey, Jessica Harris, Ralph Groder, and Cindy Roberts. Cindy, oh, yes. Ralph, we're trying to make you look good, Ralph. It's very difficult.
Thank you, Ralph.
Why is everybody feeling so good today? Right? What's wrong? I mean, don't you know how bad things are out here?
Mr. Chair, I think it's all the love in the room.
Love in the room. Okay. Well, Jessica, would you like to start out?
I would, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jessica Harris, and I'm here today on behalf of the Associated General Contractors. And we are here today in support of these bills and this package as well. This is, like Mr. Phillips' clients, we too share a great deal of frustration with the current timelines, with the current process. When it takes a year and a half, sometimes 2 years to get a permit, that's just quite frankly too long. When it puts us in a position of having to start a project in the off season, that's unwise. It's costly to the owner, it's costly to us, and if it's a public owner, it's certainly costly to the taxpayer. So from our perspective, if we can speed up the permit process, if we can get things moving and get things happening quicker, that's in everyone's best interest. If we can enable businesses coming in from out of state to supersite, to get here, to get jobs going, it benefits our industry. As you well know, the commercial construction industry is the second hardest industry in the state of Oregon, second only to manufacturing. When Bob's folks are out of work, my folks are out of work. And to us, to be able to move this process faster, to get companies in here and get a place for them to be, all of that is good news for us. The construction industry, after much kicking and screaming, is finally becoming high-tech. And being able to submit plans online is a pretty amazing thing. And we believe that the ability to do this is going to save everyone some money and some time. So all of these bills are an excellent package, and I want to commend the group that's worked on them. We haven't been as engaged as we probably should have been, but nonetheless, we are incredibly supportive of this package and believe it does good things for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
For the record, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ralph Groner. I represent AFSCME, and before I forget, I'd just like to say when Bob's members are out of work and Jessica's members are out of work, probably one of the reasons I'm at the table and you don't see a lot of other, and you should, public employee unions, so are my members out of work, because I depend either on property tax at the local level or I depend on income tax at the state level. To preface that, I would say before I heard any of this, I was in front of the Transportation Commission of this state as a public employee union speaking for projects that didn't hire my members, but in fact hired Bob's and Jessica's members so that income tax could come into this general fund to not only help my members but the state. Be that as it may, my locals, which is 150 of them in Oregon, have taken positions on these bills, and I'm here to report our position since our members are the ones who evidently are being somewhat excoriated here today. Asked me for the most part is local government. A small percentage state government, although we appreciate the compliments of DSL and DEQ. Those are my assignments, as well as transportation and the various issues I've heard here. I would like to say that on the regional code administration, I'm not here to comment on because our members had, they thought that was probably good, and that's fine. Leave it alone. I'm going to come back to 7-Eleven and just say that all the other bills my members do support. The only issue, and I've raised this with the group already, is let me give you an example on 715. I want to make sure it works for Jessica's members and for industry. And that is, I have professionals who work in the field, and I get comments that are based not so much on anecdotes, but actual experience. Let me give you an example. City of Portland's one of my 150 locals. City of Portland came to me and said, Ralph, we, not City of Court, the building code administrator, Ray Carriage, who happens to be a friend of mine. He said, I'm working to expedite the building permit process, and at any rate, he went through a long process and politically was getting beat down in his own city by other divisions. I'll say that right up front. So what I said is, I've had it. We won. We, meaning all of us who supported Randy Leonard, and whether you disagreed or agreed with him here, he's great on this issue at the local government level because jobs are his top priority, number one, bar none. So I explained to Randy the problem that we were facing in the City of Portland. By the way, I have over 500 members in plans review and building inspection in the city alone, and well over 1,500 members that do plans review and inspection statewide, including your county definitely, and most counties and cities in Oregon. Along came Randy. We looked at the proposal by Ray, and we're in a position now where we're looking at expediting industrial development. They have another name for it in the City of Portland to cut the time in half. And they're doing a wonderful job of that because they're going to have a walkthrough program where rather than getting beat up on in the land use process, which you'll find, my staff will tell you where the permit process drags down. If they were here to testify, and I hope you'll open that to them, it's the land use side of it. It really hasn't been, and I've heard a lot here on the building inspection side, it really comes when it finally hits, you've got to check off here, you have to check off here. It gets the land use part. That's what holds up most permits. I don't think anyone would disagree with that, at least on major projects. So we're working hard there on 715. My members, of course, at the state level, I also have state building codes, love it. So I got caught in a bind because I talked to my local level and they say, that's fine, except what if we can do a better job and beat it? So I only raised the issue, I think 715 is wonderful and all nice and rosy in Oregon, except that if the state, and we're going to have a work group, and this will be resolved, if the state isn't going to do any better in terms of time, quality, and beating that to help you, then fine. But those are your larger jurisdictions. I am not talking where they do not have the staff in the smaller jurisdictions. So we're for the bills, except one, I just want to make a couple comments, and I'm not being nasty because I honestly am part of the group, and I love the group, and I don't want them stabbing me in the back when I'm up here, but I want to raise an issue on Senate Bill 711. And you'll notice I'm for the other bills, and I put down some questions on Senate Bill 711. I don't think it's as black as white has been presented, and I don't think anyone intended to do this on Senate 11, but I'm for expedition and I'm for efficiency. But you know, time is money is not the only famous quote. Another one is time costs salary. So let me tell you what happens on tracks on programs under 711 that waives the plan review for certain residential projects that are fewer than 4,000 square feet. I'm a person who says, what's the practicality of all this? How's it really work? And the real world is that you're going to forego the plan review on that, and yet somebody has to go out and inspect it, and they've missed half the process. I'm not so sure, and I only raise this question, that you've efficiently served Oregonians. As a matter of fact, I view it as possibly being inefficient, because the fact of the matter is these people are going to be out on the inspection front, and if they haven't had, in terms of they're only looking at half the picture, it may cause additional inspections and rework. Okay? And I only raise that. And everyone here can say that's impossible. Our member, we signed out. We didn't need that. That's taken care of. There are no problems. But I always forget my union a minute, and since there's no longer evidently a consumer advocacy group, when I was here there was, because I've kind of hit once in a while, is, you know, folks, we're not only talking about rework and our people coming out and inspecting and not having been involved in the whole ball game, but the fact of the matter is, in the end, I don't want to see the consumer pay the price all in the name of economic development. I just want you to think about that. All the other bills are wonderful. Senate Bill 8711 could be fixed, and the work group has done wonderful work. And I only want to end with this. The transportation pack, John got to do it. The transportation issue is a big issue to not so much my members and their work, but income tax, people working on bridges and so forth. So we're heavily behind that. On land use, I really don't have the answers. John talked about industrial lands. I can tell you that that's a major issue to me and to all of you, and we'll be there to help you, whatever it is you need us to do to help you. But I hope you don't mind me saying this. If we're going to have industry coming to this state, we not only need industrial lands in a quote-unquote streamlined process, which I've been advocating for years, building permit process. I don't mean to upset the apple cart, but we're going to need revenue to make sure our schools and our public safety at the local level and at the state level on our highways and our schools and those kinds of things. But either that, or if my perception, industry is going to say, why would I want to go to Oregon in the first place? So we've all talked land use, building codes, transportation, and I'm probably unpopular for saying this, but I think we also have to take into the same consideration, you can't move it out of the pot, but we also have to talk about revenue. Without that, I'll be quiet. I appreciate your time and your generosity, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Robert. I represent the American Institute of Architects. I have to tell you, I'm having a really, really unpleasant deja vu with all this. When I was in high school, I can remember going to school on Monday and having the whole school talking about the great party that weekend and how much fun everyone had and how involved everyone was, and I wasn't invited. Happened a lot, seems to have happened here. A lot of work went into these bills, a lot of work, and I am supportive of all of them. But I do ask one thing. The architect and the engineer, for that matter, are both parts of the built environment. And we like to partner with folks as we move forward. And the things that affect us specifically in 7-Eleven and 7-14, we just hope that we are asked our opinion. I know there's some people who have a lot more knowledge of this than I do, people who have put a lot of time into it. I'm just asking that the pieces that affect us directly, don't assume that just because it's going to bring us more work, we want it. Ask our opinion. I can't offer any amendments today because it's a moving target. Once I see something, I hope that at least we can be part of this great group of bills and help push them forward.
Okay, questions? You mean you haven't been part of this group? Is that what you're saying? You haven't been invited to this party?
Mr. Chair, I have been asked my opinion recently, but was a little saddened when I heard this has been going on for a year and a half. But our opinion has been asked for recently, and I have drafted some amendments, but I understand it is a moving target, and until I know what the people who are really in charge of this, until I know what they want to do, then I will crawl to them and ask them for a little input.
Could I? Pardon me, Mr. Chair, I see some of the group is here, and I'm a part of that. Would the folks of the group mind if Cindy became part of our group? She's been accepted.
She's been accepted. All right. Well, this is such a wonderful day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further questions of this panel? Steve Kafori.
I know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Stephen Kafori. I'm here representing the Oregon Remodelers Association. I don't go into any detail on these bills. You've heard enough about them. Just very briefly, our organization supports Senate Bill 710, 713, and 714. The others really don't have much relevance to our industry. We've been working, especially with the issue with the area in the Portland area, with the metropolitan in the metropolitan area. There's been a program started by a bill that passed last session of getting folks together, planners and city building officials and construction people, to work out processes whereby everything can be more consistent and efficient. We don't feel that the problems were caused by people of bad faith, but just by the fact of history. There have been a lot of individual cities and counties who have had their own jobs of developing their own codes and developing their own permit systems. And what's happened is that, especially up in the metropolitan area, and this is happening around the rest of the state, is that these areas, which used to be separate, are now growing together. And so that a person who used to do work in Beaverton now does work in Beaverton and Gresham and Hillsborough and all around the area. And it's very frustrating if they have different requirements in different jurisdictions. And anything that the state can do to make things more efficient by making things more standardized is going to be greatly appreciated. And I think these three bills in different ways get at that same goal, so we're very supportive. And I was invited to the party early, and it's been a ball.
Thank you. I can tell. This is well good. Thank you. Questions? All right. Any further folks that would like to testify on this bill? I think I've covered everybody. Senator, yes?
It's been a love fest today, Mr. Chair.
It's kind of worrisome.
Uh-huh.
It truly is.
Are you sure, Mr. Chair, we don't have a Senator Walker bill to take us till 3:30?
Yeah.
Just I'll close it next week.
Next week, yeah.
Next week.
Next Monday. Okay, so we've got this group of bills from 7:10 to 7:15, and work on them. We're going to... To try and get things all lined up so we can push these things out and look at them again on April 14th, according to what. So that's our deadline. That's what we're looking at. If 7:10 happens to come back, it has a referral to Ways and Means, as I understand. If that happens to come back, we may just push that down to Ways and Means as quickly as we can. I don't know. Are there any amendments on that we're looking at?
Yeah, no. there are dash one amendments.
Are there dash ones? Okay, we'd have to work those on that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I see subsequent referral to Ways and Means on all of these bills.
Yeah, we talked about that at an earlier point, but it looks like there's only one. But information has been given to the legislative fiscal, and so they're looking at it. Okay. Indications as to 7:10 is on 100,000.
Pardon?
You're
thinking of time. Well, I was just finding on another bill.
Another bill. That committee's still going on. Okay. All right. Any further questions? Any further discussions? We'll close public hearing on
Senate Bill 710 and the other Senate Bill 7 should open, I guess, public hearings on 711, 712, 713, 714, 715 and indicate that those have been incorporated in the testimony that we received under Senate Bill 710 and indicate that we have had a public hearing on them. So close public hearings on those, and we will close the public hearing for the Senate Committee on Business and Labor. And thank you very much. Yeah.